Hello everyone, it's Chris Chico, and today is our weekly huddle call for REI Vaults. It is February 17th, 3 p.m. Eastern. I do believe that it is only going to be me on this call, with the exception of you guys, but Gary is not going to be on this call today. He is, actually went back to San Diego on business from Florida, and had a couple of things I wanted to just chat about real quick, and I'm going to open. You know, on the real estate side, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, on the real estate side, especially down here in South Florida, I don't know how your market is up and where you're at, but, you know, things are selling for prices that don't seem to make sense, which is fine for me. I'm not the one buying. I'm just wholesaling. But we're being aggressive, or as aggressive as you can, with getting agents on board because we feel that, you know, if agents appear to be bringing the buyers that pay the most. And sometimes we have sold a deal last week where it was a wholesaler who had an agent on their list. So we ended up, you know, having to kind of, we collected our fee, but we had to give up some money to the wholesaler and some money to the agent. And if we can go directly to those agents that have, that will be to our benefit. You know, typically if you get 10 buyers on your list, for example, then you have 10 buyers. But if I have 10 agents that work with cash buyers, then, and each of those agents has 10 buyers, then all of a sudden now I'm in a situation where I have access to 100 buyers. And so we're trying to be as aggressive as you can with that. What we're doing is we're just going into the MLS, pulling the agents that have been, that sold properties in that zip code or surrounding zip codes in the last 3 months on cash sales, and we're having one of our VAs look up their information, reach out to them, and ask them, hey, we have more properties like the one that you sold, and so if you have cash buyers, we'd love to have you, put you on a buyer's list. We're more than willing to pay a commission to you on those deals, and many of them are very receptive to that. And so, again, we're just trying to be as aggressive as we can as far as getting agents on board, and we're always trying to get buyers too, but, you know, the better the distribution, obviously the better for us. And then the other thing that we're trying and testing is SMS. In addition to the email. So typically in the past we send an email out. We put a property on our website and we would then send an email directing people to the website in order to see the property. But it felt like kind of too many steps. So now what we're doing is we're actually sending out an email, and the email itself contains the information about the property, contains one photo, and then what we're doing is providing an additional link on that email for them to get additional photos. And the photos, the way we do the photos is actually not even on our website, is we take those photos, drop them into a Google Drive folder. We make that folder visible to anyone with a link, so you can change those attributes inside of Google Drive. And then what you do is then you include that link. And so then what happens is that when somebody comes and gets your, really because we're trying to make it as mobile friendly as possible, so somebody looks at that email on their cell phone, well, first of all, what happens is that we have everybody an SMS, so whenever we have a property we're going to blast out, we'll send an SMS text to the list, letting them know that they just got an email, their email, and then in the email, they have the picture, front picture of the property, we have a description of it, the price, and then there's a link for them to get additional photos. They click on that link, it takes them to the Google Drive link folder, and then they can see all the photos. And everything is mobile friendly, so they can, you know, when they click on that link in Google, they can see the photos really nicely in a big collage, and they can click on each one individually and zoom in and zoom out, and they can also see the email also as well on their phone. So we're trying to just kind of make everything as mobile friendly as possible and remove as much friction as we can and steps, because we want to just be able to get the information to them and get them to see the photos and get them to respond to our emails, obviously, and say yes and try to see if we can get the property sold that way. But that's the thing that we've been focusing on is just, you know, with the market being the way it is, we want to take advantage of every deal we can and just trying to get greater distribution. And ladies and gentlemen, I do have Gary Boomershine on the call. you just ping me. Gary, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Adrian actually said, aren't you going to join the call? And I'm not at the conference today, or I'm not at the conference right now. So I said, yeah, I'll
talk. Oh, okay. Very cool. So I was just sharing them with my update with kind of what we're doing on the real estate side. And obviously there's a variety of different things that we're testing. And as we as those come to fruition, then we'll obviously share them with the group and find a way to help help in implementing these things for you. Any comments or from you, Gary, before we open up the line?
No, but a lot of things in the works, that's for sure. A lot of things in the works. We had, for some of you that don't have the text messaging working, Steve Carlton as an example, I was going to get it working on Friday. They're making a, I got the technical guys making one change to the text message feature, and then we're planning on getting everybody up and running on that. So just stay tuned. We're with, literally within, you know, a few more days of getting the whole, managing the hang-ups and the automated text messaging. If you want to learn more about it, you can just listen to the beginning of last week or the last 2 weeks' calls. And well, that's definitely working. We got that working in South Florida, where seller calls, they hang up, those leads are automatically marked as hang up, and then an instantaneous text message goes out to the caller ID, whatever their caller ID, and some of the sellers are actually that are hanging up are definitely responding. Some are, you know, saying no, they're not interested, but we're definitely seeing one. In fact, Chris, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but the deal in South Florida that we're going to probably make $35,000 to $40,000 on, didn't that come off of a hang-up conversion?
You know, that's a good question. I would have to, I believe so. I'll have to double check, but I believe so. I know we had at least one deal that came through our desk that we talked about on our team call that came from a hang-up.
Yeah, recently. And I think it was the big one. You know, we're averaging in South Florida. We're just wholesaling. That's what, you know, our model. We've got people in the group that are doing turnkey properties and rehabs and buy and hold, et cetera. So the exit strategy, our exit strategy is wholesaling because, you know, it's easy money and we don't have to go do anything. But we're averaging, you know, $8,000 to $10,000. We got one that we just knocked down for $15,000, and another that was for $30,000 that we closed out a week and a half ago. But this deal that we just got, I think we're going to close it next week, and it's somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000. I'm almost positive, Chris, it came off a hang up.
Yeah, I have to look.
Message is call the hang ups, call them quick, and get on it. I'm going to say one other observation. One observation, and that is get the pre-sale offers out. Use the system and start mailing the pre-sale offers to these. I get a lot of people, especially fairly new, either, you know, new to the system, or, you know, they haven't done 50 or 100 deals. You know, I got some people that have done, you know, 20 or 30 deals or what have you, and they're not pushing the pre-sale offer. And the guys that are actually pushing the pre-sale offers are knocking down deals. So get the pre-sale offer out. And if you don't know how to do that, then go to the member site, log in, and go to the section that says Podio Training or Podio. And under Podio Sellers, there's like 3 or 4 videos on how to click a couple of buttons and get those pre-sale offers in the mail. You know, I would tell everybody you should be sending out at least, you know, 15 to 20 pre-sale offers a month. Yes. And do it for a couple of months until you validate for yourself that you it's a no-brainer. You know, you spend $50, $100 worth of offers in the mail, and, you know, you knock down a nice deal, it's a no-brainer. Our term is no seller left behind. And you've heard it over and over again. And that is, you know, don't assume anything from these sellers. They want a ridiculous price, then give them the price and then put it in writing and then follow up with it. And you'll be shocked how fast they come to their senses on price. It's just taking
This lead, Gary, wasn't a hang-up, but it came in on January 16th, and then we sent a pre-sale to them on January 22nd. And then, so it took about a month of going back and forth and, you know, doing our thing with them. But, you know, it goes to show you, I think, that, you know, it's a combination of the pre-sale and also keeping up with these leads. So initially, when they come in, you know, there is always, of course, the low-hanging fruit, but there's a lot of other meat on the bone that if you follow up with and you use the tools that we provide, then you can expand on the number of leads you do. So, and that was my last comment on that.
Awesome.
Anything else, Gary, or you want to open it up?
Yeah, let's go ahead and open it up. No, my acquisition manager, Steve, basically, Steve's called me long-winded last week. So to avoid being long-winded, let's open the call.
Yes, and for the record, I call Gary long-winded. Okay, here we go. I'm going to I unmuted everybody, so if you have any background noise, go ahead and mute yourself. I'll tell you what it is right now, but if you want to, we're open to the line for questions, so anybody that has a question or a comment or needs help with anything, then go ahead and speak up. Yes, who's this?
Hey, Chris, this is Art. How are you?
I'm good, Art. How about you?
I'm still working, plugging away.
So tell me what's happening.
I had a couple of questions. One, how do you prevent another wholesaler trying to rip off your deal with when you have it posted on Craigslist? I've done as much damage control as I can by, you know, trying to pre-screen them, but obviously they can just lie. And I'm finding that, you know, a couple of my properties have been hit pretty hard by other wholesalers, and I just was curious as your take on how to prevent something like that.
Well, when you posted it, so you posted it on Craigslist, and did you post the address on Craigslist too as well, or just basic information and ask them to give you a call?
Basic information. I pretty much used the ad that you created in the back office, you know, for Muscle
right.
Rental. So I pretty much used that.
And so when you talk to the wholesaler specifically, or you talk to them, they said, yeah, we'll send it out, and everything seemed okay, at least at that point of the conversation, yes?
Before I release any information regarding the property address, I specifically email them back and ask them, are you a wholesaler? Are you an investor? Are you looking to buy this for yourself? And wait for a response back, and if I don't get it, then I don't send the information. Some of the ones that, I've sent the information out to, they've turned into deals, and, you know, I've got three in my pipeline now, you know, from investors that I posted properties on. But there are a couple that, you know, got hit pretty hard by other wholesalers. So
now, when you say the issue that the seller said to you, hey, somebody came to me at my property and said that that you were selling it, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the challenge with that is it's not the wholesaler, it's really the buyer. And we have that every so often happen, you know, where we work with the wholesaler, and the wholesaler sends it out, but, you know, they don't know who they have on their list. And we've had that issue before where there's a buyer on their list that then we try to circumvent. The only thing, so I guess the seller said to you, hey, they said, this buyer came to me, said you were selling the property, and then they said that they would buy it directly from me, and they said, what's going on? Is that pretty much the gist of it?
That, and then they send out their, you know, pre-sale letters as well. Is what's been happening.
So they sent out, whoever it was, they sent out their contract to the seller to try to get the property in the contract. Okay. And then what was your discussion with the seller? Just that you don't know who these people are, you have no idea what's going on, but you're buying it, and you're the buyer for the property, et cetera?
Yep.
And what was the seller's response to that?
The response was fine. They're not trying to walk away from me, but they're, you know, they think they have leverage over me now because I don't, you know, some of these I don't specifically have a buyer for. That's why I ran them on Craigslist. And, I'm reassuring them that, hey, you know, my funding partners are looking at the deal and we should, you know, we're going to make, you know, the deal work for you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I'll look at Gary's opinion. We encounter the same thing every so often, and we do the best we can. We have to dance around sometimes. We had that issue with according to the seller, we had a contract on a duplex, and we filed a memorandum of contract against the property. But the seller said, hey, I have another buyer. I don't want to sell to you anymore. And they said it was their neighbor, but who knows? It could be their neighbor. It could be somebody else that approached them. And, we just, told them, hey, we're the buyer. I don't know who these people are. You know, they seem to be kind of unscrupulous, and I have no idea what their, what the scenario is, but I'm the buyer, and I'm looking to purchase the property. And that's really sometimes the best you can do. And it's sometimes unavoidable. The only thing you could do is try to pinpoint specifically who it is, perhaps, or where it came from, and try to kind of minimize that channel in the future. But just sometimes it's unavoidable. I don't think I have an answer to that. I'd love to hear your end, but it happens to us. Every so often.
Can you ask this, Art? Have you verified that it's actually one of the wholesalers? That you've been found you off of Craigslist? Have you validated that?
They wouldn't give me the information of who sent it, but the only, not that that's the only way they got it. It just seemed like too much of a coincidence that, I released the information of the property and its location, and, 2 days later, they're calling me saying, hey, I got another buyer for my property. It's just too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
And how many wholesalers do you think, how many people did you provide the address to? Are we talking 1, 2, 5, 20?
I want to say 4.
Yeah, and of the 4 you could probably figure out is probably one or two, and see if you can isolate it and then just don't do business with them. So I wouldn't worry about it from my perspective. One of the things that if you got a good relationship with the seller, there's the old concept of create FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So if you've got a good relationship with the seller, you could, just say, by the way, you may get some other people that that are sending you things. You could even offer and just say, by the way, I'm always interested to see what kind of other stuff that people put in the mail. And if you would collect that for me, I'd be more than happy to actually give you a $100 gift certificate or pay $100 to your favorite charity. I'd just like to, see what other people are sending out to you. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
And that, so I actually created a campaign years ago called Stop the Junk. What was it? StopTheJunkMail.com. It's actually a package. I was doing it for a short sale deal. But I actually went out and I said, if we can't stop the junk mail, we'll buy it from you. And I bought a whole bunch of properties that way back in 2005. But you can pay people to say, gosh, if you get, I'm always interested, and, offer them $100 or $150 gift certificate, especially the donation. They love it when you say, a donation at their favorite charity. They'll always take the money usually.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But I do that. I try to do that on the front end if you have the ability with the seller. Just if you take it off the table on the front end, then it doesn't become an issue down the road.
Right. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So my second question is, I hear you guys are, with these big fees, and I'm not anywhere near that kind of level. And how are you generating $30,000 and a fee on these type of on wholesaling? What am I missing?
Yeah, maybe price point. Like for example, the deal. Let me ask you this: the deals that you have a few of them under contract right now.
Yes.
That you have waiting to close, right?
Yes.
Okay, so on those that you have waiting to close, give me an idea. What's the would you buy that and what you sell it for?
The one I bought for, I'll tell you exactly. I bought it for $74,000, and I sold it for $79,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have another one I bought for $55,000. I sold it for $57,000. Another one under contract. Bought it. This was a shit deal. Bought it for $4,000. Sold it for $6,000. And then I have a couple of smaller ones. I bought for $12,000, sold it for $13,000, I just did one yesterday. I bought it for 25, sold it for 26.
Okay, so I could stop you there. You know, it's the price point. You know, it's hard to make. And I've been in different markets. I've been in markets when I first started doing virtual. I was doing stuff in Jacksonville, Florida. And there you could buy houses for $15,000. You know, it's hard to make if you buy a house in the teens or in the 20s. It's generally hard to make a big assignment fee in those houses just simply because the margin isn't there. You know, you'd have to literally buy that house. And, you know, it has to be in good condition. You have to buy it so cheap because, you know, the spread isn't there. You know, the value isn't there. Although, as you get up into the 50s, 60s, and 70s and above, then you have a better chance of making those numbers. So, the example, the deal that we have that we picked up this week, a deal for 80, and we put it off for 125. So, we think that, you know, worst case, I think we could set up for 110. But, you know, that house is worth 180, right? So it's worth, you know, the numbers are there. The deal that we closed in California last week was in the 190s. We bought it for 190s. It's worth 330. But generally on our end, we're averaging about $8,000 assignment fee, $8,000 to $9,000 in that 75 to 90 price point, right? And then if we can go above that where the house is worth, you know, I'd say most of the stuff we look at, a lot of the stuff we look at is cash flow. But, you know, cash flow deals. This one here is more of somebody could buy it and rehab it and maybe flip it. But I would say, you know, it's a big factor is the price point. You know, if you're dealing in the 4,000, 12,000, and even the low 20s, it's hard to score a big assignment fee with those numbers. So part of it is maybe doing some adjustments, figuring out in your market. Because, you know, as you do marketing and as you learn your market and you continue to do deals, you're going to prune some zip codes and say, you know, that area, houses are really too cheap and I can't make any decent money. Let them eliminate those. Let me add these here and change things up a bit. But definitely changing the price point that you're dealing with definitely helps and gives you a better opportunity to make more money.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's see. Anybody? So the line is open. Just for you guys, if you we have the line open, so anybody that wants to ask a question, ask a question. If you wanted to officially raise your hand, so I see it in the console, you can hit *5 and that'll raise your hand. So I unmuted a few other ones. Let me connect with, I got 0662. You're on. 0662, Gardena, California. You there? Hello?
Oh, Chris, for some reason I think you, hold on everybody. Alright, Chris, repeat that.
No, what happened is I selected the hand and then I muted everybody out except that one person. So 244-0662. You had your hand raised. Maybe you didn't want to ask a question. Yeah.
424 area code.
Yeah. Well, let's go to another one. Let's go to 363-4620, San Antonio.
Yeah, Steve Carlson here.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good. Okay,
you
I
there,
got a couple
Steve?
Of...
Okay, yeah,
you...
Right. You broke out. Right. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I got a couple of questions. And the first one is, other than direct mail, what kind of marketing is working most effective around the country? And I ask that because the number of Chico Awesome leads has been used through in my account, and so my call volume through the original REI Vault data is dropped down significantly. So I need to up my marketing and you know, there's ways to do it with either direct mail or other than direct mail, like flyer, door-to-door flyers, or post-it notes, or whatever. So,
I'll answer that, and I'll let Gary chime in. You know, one of the things we're doing, and it's just, it really depends. You know, our custom rotation is 60 days. That's what everybody's on, just because it works. In our market in South Florida, We hit them at a higher frequency. So that's an option that you have. You can actually increase the frequency at which you hit these people. We hit them every 30 days in the areas that we're working with, just in order to be able to, and granted, we do get certain people that call in the same, but if that's an option that you wanted to explore, we can certainly do that for the leads that you have. That's number one. You know, as far as the other, you know, private sellers, so I answer that in private sellers, and I'm not including, you know, every market is different. Certain people that we speak with, they have their, they're getting lead gen through realtors, through MLS, and so on. You know, the only other thing that we've been exploring has been the online game, but we're just getting started with that, and it's been kind of spotty. We talked to a couple people. Some people have had really good results. Other people have had okay lackluster results and not that positive results. And there's a bit of an undertaking in order to make sure that you get the online game working correctly, and you need to deal with landing pages, conversion, and a bunch of other stuff. And we're trying to work through that. But right now, like our main source of leads here in South Florida is direct mail. We're just hitting them a lot more frequently to try to get, you know, more people to call in, because we know the areas that we're working with, and we want to get more of those people calling. But I'm not sure if, Gary, you have any comments about that?
One offline. There's one thing, Steve, that would be worthwhile. You and I, before I broadcast it, I actually want to, there is one thing that I'd love to try with you. So yes. If you want, send an email to support. Actually, Debbie, you're on the call. If you could actually make a note and create a ticket for this for Steve, assign it to me. And you and I can just chat on it, Steve, and then launch it. The other thing, you know, post-it notes. Got some people in the group that are actually doing some post-it notes. I know you've done that in the past.
And it is. I closed two in January from June campaign.
So
go ahead, Gary. I'll wait for you then.
I mean, I'm not a crazy fan. You know, the post-it note, everybody, for you know. We actually have the ability of printing out for $1,000 25,000 of these yellow post-it notes. They look like a postcard. It says, you know, notice on it. It looks like it was hand signed. And you have to have somebody, a local, you know, company that actually delivers these door to door.
So you blanket neighborhood. I still, you know, Chris, you and I chatted about this. It does work. We've got, I don't know, 10 people that are doing that around the country. Separately as kind of a campaign. You can order those from us. Just send an email, and if you want 25,000 shipped to you, that's no big deal. I don't necessarily like it. I think doing more, continue to do more targeted lists, you know, pull a probate list and get that out. Let us get that out and running for you. You know, going direct and identifying the targets that we want. You know, Chris, you talked about the online. We are working on an online solution. We're working with the group right now to actually have pay-per-click and dominate your local market. So where we actually have our team manage the keyword searches and the SEO and the websites. And so we're working on it. We got a group that's actually doing it for us in South Florida and getting it up and running, and then we'll roll it out to a handful of people, and if it starts working, then we would roll it out to everybody as another option. We're probably months away from that, realistically. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, we definitely are, because there's still a lot of testing to be done on that, and obviously we only want to kind of introduce something that we know it's vetted and it works, because otherwise then we don't want to waste anybody's time. You know, one thing I was going to mention, Gary, is that, and this is for you, Steve, is that if you, you know, everybody always starts with absentees, but if you have an area or if you have a zip code that you know that, hey, that's a prime zip code for me, that I would love to be able to find more deals, the other thing we could do is we can pull a kind of a specialized owner-occupied list in there. Now, the owner-occupied mailings, it's going to require for you to have, you know, you're not going to get the volume of calls that you get with the absentees. But, you know, that also, we have some members that are doing owner-occupied mailings. And again, we only recommend those once you you know, once you know a particular zip code or certain zip codes that you know are ones that you want to do deals with, do deals in, then we can use kind of the same characteristics that we're using with an absentee list and apply to an owner-occupied list, and you could test that. And, you know, results may vary. Every county is different, but that's certainly an option too as well. Narrowing down in an area that you know, if you can find a deal, you'd love to have it, and you can make some money from it.
I appreciate you bringing that up because I definitely want to increase my number of people that I'm mailing to. And I used to mail to owner ox a lot and had a fair amount of success. Good. I appreciate it.
So if you want, if you send that in, I'll work with the team to make sure that we get the right the list pulled in the right way, you know, taking the attributes that we use for the absentees. And, you know, that will open up some other – I know that that'll get you some additional leads for sure.
Good. Yes, that's what I need.
You know, okay. The other thing, Steve, you've actually, you and I have known each other for, you know, almost a decade, it seems like. So, and I know we've been marketing together, but it's almost like you're an old school fisherman that's been fishing in the same lake. Right?
Well, I'm doing it over and over.
You know, get this thing rocking and rolling, hook up with Robert, and get a couple of really good phone people and expand into a new market. That's what I would do. I'd have your market because, you know, you're doing your deals. I'd get another market, do some more wholesaling, and get that up and running. You know,
that's done for this year.
Yeah, the other thing, and I think I owed you some help on this. I've been traveling like crazy. I'm out of town now, but I'd really go back. I'd really spend some time. And you really want to do this a little bit with you and maybe a VA, right? But I would go back to all of your leads that you've had over the last couple of years. And I would actually have a VA that would go, you know, we got a guy in Dallas that did this, Dallas-Fort Worth, I guess. This is Gabe, right? Gabe went and looked. Gabe was not pushing the offer letters real hard. And he also works a full-time job. But anyway, he went back to all the sellers that he talked to, but he never followed up on, okay? And basically found it was like 30 or 40% of the deals that he looked through had sold, right? So he talked to the seller. The sellers were unmotivated. He didn't follow up with them, and some other real estate investor picked them up. So what I would do is I'd go back to all those unmotivated deals, you know, that you passed on, and I would basically revive them. I'd get them on I'd start with getting them on that follow-up letter. Tag them, right? And just build a list, give it to our team, and I would do that with the handwritten follow-up letters. You know, you talk to them a year ago, you can still say, hey, we spoke recently about buying your house, and that'll generate activity. I do that first. I'm not crazy about the owner-occupied list. Chris and Chris, you and I probably have not tested it enough, but, you know, we did it in South Florida.
Yeah. The only comment I would say about the owner-occupied base is they got to be prepared to mail a lot more to get less leads. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If you find a deal, you're going to make some money from it, but, you know, it is a little bit more of a volume game with regards to mailing and then getting leads. And to piggyback on what Gary said, I'm amazed at how many, you know, we have Steve now who's working with us, and we have somebody else. Obviously, you guys may have heard him on the call previously when we first started. About a year and a half ago, Calvin was on and doing the calls with us every so often, and he was the acquisitions guy. And we just decided to go back to all his old leads, and we put them in, and we imported them into Podio. We weren't using Podio at the time. And, you know, I'm shocked at the number of deals we've done recently over the last couple of months from these old leads that, you know, that just are still interested in selling, and now time has, you know, given them enough of a, you know, the circumstances have changed enough that now they're interested. And I'm just shocked at the amount of old leads that we continue to make into deals. So I would definitely piggyback on what Gary said in terms of that.
Good, because I do have about 2 years' worth of lead sheets here that they're just sitting around.
Yeah.
Now, do you encourage, would you suggest a phone call first or just to blank them with a
follow-up letter?
Blank them with a pre-sell letter or a follow-up?
No. Here's what I would do. I'd basically take those lead sheets, you know, don't do it yourself. Take the lead sheets and scan them quickly, right, in a photocopy machine scanner, and get them over to a VA and have them insert the names and addresses into a spreadsheet,
I would look up the property to see if it's still available. That's what I would do. And if you know the numbers, you know, dollars per square feet, I would try to calculate the offer on them. If it's 100 properties, I would take that, give it to our team, and we do follow-up letters, get them on a follow-up campaign, and, you know, try that for a month or two and see how that's working, and then do an offer letter to them.
Okay. Yeah, but I would definitely go after them. There's some hidden gems in there. That's what we've been finding.
Yeah, and we can do, you know, if you just go through your lease, our team can do all the mailing processing. So all you have to do is just get those into a format, give it to us, and then you'll knock down deals for sure. I was meeting with the top wholesaler in the country, Kent Clothier. Chris and I met with him. Actually, we hired him, brought him on as an advisor, consultant, coach for us as we grow this whole business and REI Vault. So we brought him on, and Kent's in San Diego, and Kent was showing us a letter very similar to our offer package, and they were mailing that on the front end. And they didn't do it, you know, they got busy, but they knocked down, I think he said he sent out 88 offers, and they knocked down a $75,000 profit deal. And then they just didn't continue it. So that was off. They sent the offer on the first go-round.
Wow.
All right. So, and by the way, that's actually on the road what we're working on. What we're working on is being able to pull the data so we actually have not just the names and addresses, but emails, phone numbers, and the offer price on the front end before we ever mail. Wouldn't that be awesome? If we could actually have, you know, the offer price that we want to mail to, and then have even a more targeted list, right? Send out a postcard, and then they get an offer package.
Nice.
Wow.
Cool.
Well, keep us posted. Let us know how we can help, Steve. But it's definitely going in there.
OD.
Appreciate that advice. And I think that's a good thing to practice these year-old leads, and certainly those that were podio leads from 6-9 months ago that didn't get all the attention they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Debbie, are you on?
Yes.
Can you make sure that create a ticket for Steve and I to work together? Okay, awesome. All right, I think Marty had a question.
Yeah, Marty. Yeah.
Yes. Hi, guys. How you doing?
I'm good, Marty. How about you?
Two questions. One is, Chris, you were mentioning about a property that you picked up at 70, and then you were going to put it out for 20, 120 or 130, but you think you may get 110. So that seems to me that are you putting it out to see what you can get for that property?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
In other words, are you taking, for instance, putting it on Greg's list and seeing what people are willing to pay for it?
Yeah, we have an existing buyer list, so we're trying to be aggressive with the deal. Steve and I went back and forth quite a bit on that deal yesterday, and what happened is that we picked it up for 80, and it was a two-bedroom. One bath, but it's a really nice area. And then we got photos of the inside and then realized that there was an extra bedroom, kind of an unofficial extra bedroom, but there was a garage that could be converted. So now, if somebody could take the house and make it into a 3-1 or maybe potentially a 4-2 by converting that garage, it substantially increases the price. And, you know, with the way the deals have been going lately, so we thought, let's be aggressive. And let's, you know, try 120, 125. We just got the deal. So worst case scenario, if we have to make a price reduction, we'll do it. But, you know, we're trying to be aggressive initially to try and see if we might get something. And we have agents on the list. So.
All right. In other words, so you're offering it for about 125, 130 and to several buyers at the same time.
Yeah, we send it out to the whole list.
Okay, and you have a realtor working with you on that, did you say?
Well, we have realtors on our list that we put on the list. So if they find a buyer, we're more than happy to pay them a commission on the deal.
You know, it's kind of like different than the way I was working it. I pick up a place at 70, and I think it's worth 130, and I say, hey, listen, I got a place for 130. Are you interested? Where you seem to be feeling the field to see what you can get for it. That's a little bit different than.
So in other words, you were going to an individual buyer first, and then going one by one, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the negative with that is just that,
a lot of negatives.
When you do that. Yeah, a lot of negatives because, you know, the way I like to do it with buyers, if you're going to do that, okay, so let's talk about, it's really
a
courtesy call.
I'd rather do it your way because.
But there's a way to still do it your way, but still do both. And the way to do that is you have one, there's two options. A, you can go to your buyer and say, hey, I got this great deal. Here's the information. Let me know if you want it. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and send it off my list. I wouldn't do that because now you're holding the deal for them, and that's because it puts you in a particular situation. What I would do is you send it out. You can give it to your buyer and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to put this deal on my list. I'm going to send it out to everybody. I'm going to start really marketing aggressively tomorrow. However, though, I'm going to give you a heads up and let you know that, hey, you know, give you a day's notice ahead of time, but you got to let me know. Otherwise, you know, so you're telling them, you're giving them a courtesy, but you're not waiting for them. And that's a key item. You're telling them, look, I'm going to the open market. So if you want this deal, you better hurry up and look at it and let me know because I'm not going to sit around and wait for you. And so that's kind of like if you're going to approach a few people, that's how I would do it. And we do that with certain people that we work with. We give them a heads up. But they know that we're not waiting for them, that the train is going to leave the station, and if they want the deal, they got to speak up, otherwise we ain't waiting for them. And so that's the other way you could do it with that if you're approaching particular buyers about the property. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, it's interesting. You bring to mind, I got a call from an attorney that was looking to move a property at a pretty good price. So he asked me if I was interested, and you know, I said, well, you know, I wanted to check it out. I want to make sure there's a roof or something. And I think what happened was I probably should have locked it up right away and then gotten back to him because, you know, the guy just kind of disappeared. He probably, it was such a good deal that I think I learned from that lesson that, you know, when the iron is hot, just hit it. So that's kind of like what you were doing in a certain way. I have one more question, and that was the first caller. I forgot, I didn't get his name, but he was talking
Art.
about his wholesalers taking his deals. So what you're saying is even though he has a contract, he still may have a problem with that wholesaler?
Yeah, because somebody might, you know, there's people out there, and we've had, like, you know, they see the list, they know that that guy that they're getting the email from is a wholesaler, so they know that he doesn't have the contract, and they'll try to go around that person and try to speak to the seller directly, try to break up the deal and try to get the deal for themselves.
But I mean, doesn't he have a signed purchase agreement with this seller, and doesn't that hold the seller slightly liable to go through with the agreement and the other wholesaler has a problem coming through or
yeah, it does. It does. There's an agreement and you can push the agreement. You know, we've done that before. We filed a memorandum of contract in the public records to make sure we cloud title, et cetera. But in the end, it's like it's still causing trouble. You know what I mean? It's like in the end, we have the right. But now we got to have to deal with conversations and maneuvering with the seller and making sure that everything is good with them. You know, so it just creates, you know, an unnecessary ruckus. I guess that's the best way I can describe it. You know, so
the other I understand. The other question along that line was when he offers it to a wholesaler, is he giving the address or are these wholesalers sharp enough to know that if it's in a certain territory, they're still picking it up?
Well, Art was putting the property he was putting a blind ad in Craigslist, so not really putting the address. I don't recommend putting the address in Craigslist because if the seller types the address into Google, then that might get indexed, right? So he's putting a blind ad, and when the wholesalers come, when they call, then he has a conversation with them and says, okay, great, I'd love to work with you, and he sends you the address of the property. So there is a little bit of vetting there. You know, you're not putting the address out in the wild, and you're kind of talking to them before you put them on the property. And that sometimes is the best you can do. But I definitely wouldn't recommend, like, taking the property, putting it on Craigslist, putting the address of the property out there, because then, you know, now you're opening yourself for more can of worms.
So what has anybody thought of, or has, is this possible where you can, you find a wholesaler, you know, you're not too sure of his legitimacy, but can you ask him to sign a non-compete type of a document just to make it a little bit more solid as far as legality goes? Does that make sense?
You got
a wholesaler and you say, okay, I'm going to give you the address, but I just want you just to sign this document just to let you know that, you know, I'm going to hold you to the fire in case you take it.
Let me jump in.
I don't think it's worth the toilet paper that you write on, to be honest with you. I have an abundance mentality. Build really, really good relationships with a handful of buyers. And the guys that try to circumvent, they're going to be out of business soon enough. So if it's an abundance mentality. When you act in a scarcity mentality, it's a fast way to go nowhere. And, if you have any, so that's number one, you know, getting a memorandum. If you have an issue recording your contract to cloud the title, could be a good thing because the seller is going to have to come and deal with you if they want to sell it. So that's an option. But out of all the deals and all the people that we know in this business, to move on. Do a good job, find good buyers, qualify them occasionally, you know. It's also competing, right? If you got a good relationship with the seller, I always say honor the seller. You know, they're our customer. So have a good relationship with them. Interact with them. You get referrals from them. Over time, we do direct mail, and over time, a lot of your business should be coming from referrals, right? People that refer you because they like doing business. You know, it's not just price that people are buying. People, you know, that Dallas deal, Chris, and we made a lot of money. The seller came in and said, we appreciate it. We're happy you guys are making a lot of money. You know, we were very happy to sell the property. We were very happy to do business with you guys. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I wouldn't.
The other thing I was going to mention is, in that model where you're dealing with a wholesaler, it's not as if you're dealing with a buyer. Like, if you're dealing with a buyer directly and you say, I want you to sign this saying that you're not going to circumvent, that's one thing. But you're dealing with a wholesaler who may have hundreds of people on his list that he has absolutely no control over. So it's hard to get him to accept that responsibility when he can't. It's the nature of the beast. You know, he doesn't know who's on that list. He could sign up and then a buyer from his list will go and go around you, and he has no control over that. It's not his fault, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Enforcing the contract, it's one thing to have a contract, too. Enforcing the contract, and now you're dealing with illegal nonsense and then costs with attorneys or to suck you dry, it's not worth the money. It's the mental
aggravation. Cycle.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I don't know about you, but Chico and I, you know, we don't want the drama in our lives. It's like, move on. There's plenty of deals to be had out there.
Well, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they're like, well, do you go out and if a seller wants to not sell the contract, right, not to close on the deal, do you go out to them? I said, you know, it just depends. If the seller says to me, you know, if we put a memorandum of contract to the cloud the title, but let's say the seller, I just use this example. Let's say the seller says, oh, yes, I'm not going to sell the contract. I'm not going to sell the deal. I'm going to sell it to somebody else. And we say, oh, we can sue you for that. And he says, okay, fine, sue me. But my brother-in-law is a state attorney or the U.S. district attorney, and he has all the time in the world that he's going to just file all kinds of lawsuits against you and everything else, and it may not be worth fighting, right? So you can learn to pick your battles. And sometimes, you know, well, we know we have ground and we can, you know, aggressively pursue something, we will. Other times we back off because we know, you know, hey, it's not worth it. If it's a big assignment fee, if it's a big profit on the deal, maybe we'll go after that. If it's, you know, we're only making a couple $1,000, the seller, you know, in the end backs out, we may just say, you know what, it's not worth the trouble. We just got to move on. So everything is great. You know, there's no hard set rules. It's just, you know, kind of, sometimes it's just kind of a judgment call.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. That's my last comment. So anybody else have any questions? Actually, you could hit. Some people are muted and unmuted. Some, I think, might be muted. just because they need it themselves. But he hit, now I lost the, is it Star 5, Gary?
Hold on real quick. Give me just a second here.
I have it, actually, I can't find it. Oh.
I should know that by heart. Star 5?
Yeah. You want Star 5. Star 5 will raise your hand. And Star 5. You know, I was going to kid with you, Gary, at the beginning of the call. I said that I thought you were long-winded. However, I may be long-winded, but nobody has ever told me that. So nobody has had the wherewithal to actually be honest and upfront with me about that. So who knows?
You're long-winded, Chris. You're long-winded, but you're Puerto Rican and whatever it is. You talk like a mile an hour, so the long-winded just compressed into 10 seconds, so it's awesome.
I was going to tell you, yes, exactly. That's a good point. There you go. It compressed. Oh, that's funny. Don't worry. No, you don't hurt my feelings.
You know, 20 years ago, I used to be concerned with people hurting my feelings. Now it's like, I can't fix it, so it's like then whoever's on the other side of the phone has to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the three.
So,
yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Uh-oh. All right, anybody have a question? Go ahead now.
You know, nobody else has a question. The last comment I was going to say, you know, is just everything, I was thinking, I was reading the other day and said, you know, whatever plans you have, I read this article from the founder of LinkedIn, right? And he said, whatever plans you have, you take that first step, and everything else goes out the window, right? And so we all make certain assumptions in the market, you know, with regards to zip codes, buyers, and a variety of different things. And, you know, more and more, you know, as I do this business, as we help people move along and tweak their businesses, you know, it's a game of adjustments, you know. And so Art had asked me about the assignment fees, you know, and so there's certain assumptions that he went in to his market and he's working his market and he's doing deals and he'll make some tweaks in order to eliminate some areas or maybe change the type of property he's targeting to be able to get himself an opportunity to make more money in the assignment fees. And so everything is just about making adjustments. And I think that if you look at whatever your market is, whatever you're doing, if you just look at it as iteration, that you know, you're doing something today, but you're just doing something enough to get you to the next step. You're getting input from your results, and then you're going to make adjustments. And sometimes you do the best you can, you make the best assumptions, and sometimes the cards don't fall your way. Sometimes they do. But I think it's just navigating through the process and making adjustments. And I think that's the key thing that we find with anybody that's successful in this business or any business or in general. It's just being able to make those adjustments and fine-tune what you're doing in order to make it better. And so that was the other comment I was going to make. Came to mind with Art. So we have one hand up, so we have enough for one more question. This is British Columbia, 0494.
This is Justin in British Columbia.
Justin, you're the only person we have in Canada, actually.
Yes.
Yes.
So my question pertains to, we're coming to actually the last chunk of our first remails went out, and we're thinking that we would like to add more zip codes. Obviously, it's going to be incumbent upon us to add more zip codes. Would you guys recommend having your seller lead data re-pulled because it could potentially have changed? And my other question is, obviously, seller lead data does change all the time. When you go back and re-pull and we do a re-mail, is that a quote-unquote updated fresh list and we're potentially adding new leads? Or is it always fixed with what we started out with?
Chris, you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
So, a couple things. One is if you want to do those new zip codes, then just send an email. And the team will actually get working on that for you. So just tell them what you want and be as explicit in the email as possible, and then they will come back to you usually within 24 to 48 hours. So, second thing is the list.
This list doesn't need to get updated. If you think about this list, it's absentee owners. Most of these properties are going to be free and clear. They've probably been owned for a long, long time. So, it's not going to need to be updated that often. Once a year is fine. The team will actually, we'll pull it. But you're not going to see, and Chris and I have done a little bit of testing on this, we don't see a lot of properties that are popping on this list. There may be, you know, on a $5,000 budget, there may be, you know, a couple of hundred properties that may be interesting. So, and the team actually does pull that.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So I wouldn't really worry about it. I'd exhaust the campaign. You know, we've actually changed it up so it's different postcards that are going out to get a different response. So they'll get a postcard, and then 60 days later they're going to get a white postcard that's going to say a little bit different. And they get different sort of things at different times to strike the right hot button. So anyway, does that answer your question?
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Chris, any other commentary on that?
No. I think you answered it well. So I think that we'll then, you want to do one more? We'll take one more, Gary, last one for the day.
Yes.
6002.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Valerie in Sacramento. How are you?
Great, Valerie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. We just sent out postcards that have the third notice notification with the 800 number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I called it to test it. You know how we get an email notification of each caller that calls? So I got an email notification the both times that I called to test the number. And the first time I called it, it wasn't our message. It was a message for a cruise line to pay a $49 port fee or something like that. And the second time I called, it was our message to, you know, reference to their home that we're calling about their home. And I sent an email asking for someone to check it out and just wanted to know if you know anything about that.
Yeah. I will have – Debbie's on the call, so Debbie will actually – take note of it. Debbie, you got that?
I already took care of it. I already tested it. It is using our script, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's possible. There's a lot of moving parts in this setup. There's like 27 or 28 different steps that happen in getting everything set up and then all the testing and QA. You may have actually been right in the middle of the process, Valerie, and so we actually test it all the way after everything's set up. Our team will actually go in and test it. So anyway, I think we're fine. And then Debbie will just send a notification back to you just in confirmation of everything.
Okay, great.
I guess the best way to describe it, Gary, it could have been that the number, when she dialed, was in transition from the place to get the number to actually us having possession of it and being able to put the voicemail and everything else. So she may have called in that transition period, right?
Yep. There's other things that happen, too. There's, like, we actually have to buy the phone numbers at least a month to 2 months in advance so that we can test the numbers that are clean so that they're not getting wrong numbers. So it's possible. It's a possible stuff. There's all kinds of things. So you should be fine now, Valerie. We'll
okay,
confirm
great.
It, though.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. Thanks, Valerie. All right, so we are at the end of our call here at Boomershine in sunny San Diego, and I'm in sunny South Florida. But as always, guys, if you guys need anything, please go ahead and send an email to dealhelp@reivault.com. So anything related to deals, questions about the transaction or seller, whatever the case may be, if you want us to look at a particular deal for you, please always include the URL of the lead inside of your podia. Just take it directly from the web browser, paste it in the email. And also, at the same time, if you need help on a deal, give us some insight to what you're trying to answer. Give us it's really helpful if we understand what you're trying to figure out. If you don't know what a deal is worth, let us know what you think it's worth and why, and therefore we can kind of troubleshoot and
give you some ideas of how you can correct if you're doing it incorrectly and for the next time. And as always, if you need any help with your campaigns, your phone system, anything technical, Podio, email support@salesteamlive.com, support@salesteamlive.com. It's always better to send any help you need through those two channels because, like, for example, if you send an email to Deal Help, Gary and I both see that those emails simultaneously. So I may answer, he may answer, we both may answer. So at least there's a double coverage. When you send an email to support@salesteamlive.com, there's a half a dozen people that see that email instantly. And then many times we can get to work on things right away versus if you just send it to somebody on the team individually. So it's always better to go through that channel to make sure that things are taken care of appropriately and nothing slips through the cracks. And I think that was it for me, Gary, unless you have any other last parting words.
No, nope. I'm not going to be long-winded.
Okay.
Everyone, have a great week. Go out, make some money, do good things.
Yes.
Talk to you again next week. Actually, next week, Chris, you and I are traveling, so there will be no call next Tuesday. We'll send an email with that announcement. Have a great week. See ya.
Thanks, everybody.